And listen, gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, from California to Maine and from Montana to Florida, worldwide to this broadcast. Broadcast live every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, and, of course, YouTube Live. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us. You know, we have show prep. That's found on HagmanReport.com. The show itself, HagmanandHagman.com. There, choose your venue. I just want to have a conversation with you the next half hour. And then we're going to be joined by dark journalist Daniel List. I don't know how many people have heard of Daniel. A dark journalist, I suspect many out there. Very popular website, very popular YouTube channel. He gets A-list guests all of the time. And I happened to be watching one of it was so odd the way this happened. I was watching one of his videos, and at that very moment, seriously, John calls up and says, "Hey, I just booked Daniel List from Dark Journalist." I said, "No, you know," and I looked around my office to see if John was around. Seriously, that's how it happened. So it's very interesting. So thank you, John Robertson, and thank you, JD, for all you do, and thanks for everybody for all you do. If, for those that didn't join us yesterday or the day before, we had an incident. Yes, there was an incident here. I don't quite know how to describe it. One of our, to push video through, it takes, you know, it's not, okay, we've got a studio operation, and how we have cobbled this together, Eric cobbled this together very well, so we don't have to get into the $100,000 pieces of equipment that we can't afford. So anyway, one of the CPUs, I don't want to say caught on fire, but boy, it just was smoking, cooking, and baking yesterday. And so what we're doing is we're having to go to plan B until we can get that fixed. And we'll get that fixed this week. But until that time, it's just you and I right here. You know, we're still broadcasting on YouTube. However, the video, my shining face, this is going to be a little bit, is going to be somewhat absent. So, anyway. But it's interesting, however, nonetheless, that did happen. And, you know, things do happen. I'll just tell you that. Things happen and things happen. So, and these things happen. So, you know, we appreciate all of your prayers, all of your support, and I appreciate them more than you know. What we're attempting to do as the landscape of this, the media changes, and it's being changed in ways that one day we will get into deeply. We are actually preparing for the future in ways that we will be able to get to you while others may not. And it's important because these days, you just never know. For example, right now, DrudgeReport.com is down. Now, I ask that you, everyone thinks about this. When in the last 10 years, 15 years, or since their inception, has Drudge been down? And been down so frequently? I'm going to tell you right up front, there is a war that is raging. We are part of that war. We are part of that war in manners and methods and ways that I cannot disclose. However, it is not just what's listed or who's listed on the prop or not bogus fake news crap of a website. Or the Washington Post's imprimatur of that. No. No. They, the globalists, the people in power that don't want you to be educated on the real news, on what's really the news, not the, the candy-coated BS that's out there. Not the Megyn Kelly stories that she's going to NBC from Fox, and oh my goodness, what a big story that is. No, 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 no. We attack the real news. And tonight we're going to be talking about the deep state, connecting some dots. And it's extremely important to understand that. But getting back to the fight in which we're in, and this is so topical because I really think the biggest story of 2016, aside from the election, I do believe that the biggest story is the implementation, the war against the alternative or the independent media. I would choose the independent media over the alternative media. Because what is taking place is they are shutting down free speech. Well, they're shutting down, they're throttling the truth. If you talk about the things like the Federal Reserve, if you talk about real issues, for example, when you talk, for example, about Pizzagate as a topic, you are, of course, going to be censored. There's censoring being done on social networking. And you know, some people might say, oh, I'm so sick of hearing about all of this censorship. Well, I ask that you would indulge me because I do believe that in order for all of us, you, me, well, for the people in general, for everyone to get to understand to have the ability to get the news that is the news, it must be obtained via the independent media, and because the corporate media that's controlled by six corporations, they're captured by six corporations, and they're not going to tell you, and you know all of this, but what you may not know is the vitriol that's taking place behind the scenes right now. The takedowns and the attempted takedowns through censorship or through calls of fake news or claims of some sort of I don't know. There are so many examples, but we'll say claims of damages, for example, or claims of hate speech or claims of racism or whatever the claim might be. That is the part of the method. And then even it's layers deep though. It's layers deep and it's effective. And they're the deep state, the people in power are using the most unassuming people out there. So, think of it this way, you know, think of just some little old happy little grandmother out there, you know, that would appear that way, being actually a tool to censor the truth. Well, how would that happen? It can happen a number of different ways, but the point I'm trying to get across is the most unassuming of people and of assets and of just the most unassuming is perhaps the most dangerous. And the dark journalist will be here to talk about the methods and operational tactics, and the tactics are serious tactics. And Christianity is being weaponized. And this is, I find this very interesting. You know, Islam was weaponized by the government of, by the West, or I'm sorry, by the West during the Cold War, but by the Nazis during World War II, because it's open to such weaponization. Christianity, no, it's really not. However, what's the best way to destroy Christianity? Well, let me back up. What's the best way to destroy a culture, the United States, the Judeo-Christian culture of the United States, is to destroy Christianity? And how do you destroy Christianity? Well, what happens in many cases is you will pit one Christian against the other, and there's divisiveness. Excuse me. They rip a page from the playbook of the Muslims, for example. But that, more than ever today, is taking place. And there are victims. And see, the people who engage in that kind of warfare, they don't care about the collateral damage that they cause. They don't care. It doesn't matter to them. And I'm seeing this happen more and more and more. And I'm looking at this, and it saddens me, because it should never happen. But it does. And it's coming from places, some of the most, really, some places that you'd never expect. But it's taking place. And that's, by extension then, there will be a criminalization of Christianity, and as there will be a criminalization of Islam and a criminalization of Judaism, a criminalization of speech in general, but it's going to be incremental, and that's what we're seeing play out. And a lot of the people who are involved in this are unwitting pawns in this whole process. Folks, I would urge everyone to go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. For tonight's episode description and links, very important links into what we're going to be talking about tonight. So, HagmanReport.com. And make that, bookmark that, and make that part of your everyday stop. And check it more than once a day. That's HagmanReport.com. And by the way, you can help us out in a number of different ways. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can follow us on our social networking platforms, mine as well as the shows, whether it be Twitter or Facebook. Now, we know these are tools that we use, despite the fact that they're establishment tools or they're globalist tools. We understand that. But if they're used with a little bit of common sense, they can be used for good as well as what others are using them for. I certainly wouldn't put any personal information on there. Hey, I had lunch today at, whatever. No. Or here's a picture of the latest party with my grandchild. No, of course not. No, you don't want to do that. But when used properly, they can elevate the visibility of the truth seekers and the truth tellers. And a lot of times they can merge the two. But it's interesting as well. If you go to HagmanReport.com, I have a link to an interview between Larry King and John McAfee. Now, for some reason, conservatives don't like McAfee, or there's a bias towards him. But it's a very sobering interview. So I want to direct your attention to that, of course. And then the Deep State Unfiltered tonight, the program description there. And then there's some other articles there, but definitely watch the interview with Larry, between Larry King and John McAfee, and that will dispel as well the rumors about claims of Russian interference in the elections of 2016. And we're still seeing, the effects. We still have 16-17 days before Trump is, or before Obama is out of office and Trump is in office. I do think that this is a very dangerous time, and I think that we need to really watch, because anything can happen. And we do know that, of course, there's some pushback between Israel and the United States, Obama and the United States. or Obama using the United States against Israel. We have to be monitoring that. We're seeing the formation of or the setup for a global war, I believe. And I would say this as well. I would say that Syria, of course, is a focal point. But again, I just want to mention, I want to go back, you know, Drudge appears to be down, under attack. And don't forget, Matt Drudge had stopped into to talk with Alex Jones and last year or a number of months ago. And he really predicted these times would come. And I have to say that these times are here. Now, we are experiencing ourselves various attacks. However, because we're on a multi-platform, it's a little bit different for us. But you can tell, you're defined by the enemies, by your enemies. You could tell, you know, people can tell who you are by the enemies that you have. And I'd like to think that we're making a difference in the fight against this global takeover. And I like to think that we are making a difference in getting the word out as to what's taking place. And I know most certainly Drudge is one of the most influential websites, as is in websites like InfoWars, and they were getting slammed with a DDoS attack. And other websites, including Christian, not limited to Christian websites. So, the war is engaged. It's raging. So, just understand that. And, understand that we are going to be fighting this now for the foreseeable future. And don't think for a second Trump is in that we can lay back and say, okay, you know, wow. The word reprieve, I think, has got, I almost regret using that word reprieve with the Trump victory, because many people now are on autopilot when they should be really doubling down and getting things together, because we know it's going to be a bumpy ride. Obama is not going to go quietly into the night, nor is Hillary Clinton. We know that. Obama is going to stay in Washington. He had indicated, oh, I'm going to be there pretty much every step of the way. Meanwhile, what's happening? The UN document, rather than citing UN documents, Obama has, as has George H.W. Bush and others, put the United States on a fast track to world government, and of course that involves the papacy. If you go back to 2 years ago, the Vatican, okay, go back to 2 years ago, Leo Homan is going to be on our show coming up here at some point here in the near future, had talked about the UN approving a document titled Transforming Our World, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. We talked about this with Debbie Bacigalupi yesterday. And that document included in its preamble a call for a new universal agenda for all of humanity. The plan, of course, is ambitious, but what does it all mean? And what's taking place here? It's interesting how these plans bypass Congress and the legislatures of the world's other 193 nations. Yet the heads of state, whether it be Obama in this case, or Merkel, or whoever, they agree together to work toward its implementation. And how do they implement all of this? Through secret trade deals and backroom bureaucratic rulemaking. This is how things are being done to bypass the representative republic of the United States of America and the people's will. And yet, you know, people are not seeing this. And very few members of Congress, in fact, even know that such deals exist. You've got the Gang of Eight, of course, that do understand, of course, and that do know, but beyond that, it's pretty limited. The keywords, for example, in what we're going to be seeing over the next, well, in the foreseeable future. Ending poverty. Oh, such a noble cause, but how do you do that? Gender inequality. We've got to make sure that there is none of that. Combating climate change. A big, big thing with respect to the financial end of things, and opening up borders to migrants and refugees. We saw that, of course, most recently, 220 children per day? Oh, it's amazing. Now, the world leaders using the United Nations, you know, have previously put their stamp of approval on this 15-year plan. This is back in 2015, and of course it's known as Agenda 2030. We talked about that yesterday. But within the elements of this, we're seeing the incremental implementation of the elements today. And so, but when you take a look at this, for example, and you start breaking it down, you start seeing who the leaders are, and then you start getting deep into the leaders. And Andrew Kerr did a great job with people like David Brock, Media Matters for America, Soros-funded operations, and you start seeing Soros' fingerprints and Hillary Clinton's fingerprints and all of this, and Obama's fingerprints and all of this, and George H.W. Bush. And soon you see nothing, I mean, everything is just, it's bipartisan. And the real agenda of the global elite is definitely bipartisan, and it's to implement a sustainable development. That's their code word, but it's to implement communism through this UN agenda, UN plan. And what we, of course, how does this all fit in? It's through end time prophecies. If you Troy Anderson had written with Paul McGuire, Babylon Code, and on his own, of course, he had done a lot of investigative research, but with Paul McGuire, the Babylon Code talks a lot about this as well, what we're seeing take place. We're seeing the current state of the world in an epic battle between good and evil, and I don't think you can separate Christianity, for example, in the eschatology. You can't separate that and current events. If you try to do that, if you try to look at current events through a secular or a humanist lens, I think that you're missing the boat and the richness of the days in which we live, but you're also missing the boat in terms of understanding the times in which we live. And that brings me to, of course, discussion of things like this human trafficking and child trafficking that we've seen referenced, and we saw some of this exposed in what was known as Pizzagate, which caused a lot of issues and a lot of it's so interesting because you have the title of or the phrase fake news that has become attached to things like Pizzagate, which is merely a reference toward the larger agenda of human trafficking, of child trafficking, of child slavery. And if you don't think that exists, then you're deluded. But in order for the globalists, the global elite to continue their agenda, and I just really want to drive this point home, in order for them to continue their agenda, they have got to neuter the more effective, or neutralize, or marginalize the more effective mouthpieces out there. So regardless, no matter what your favorite program might be, your favorite broadcast might be, in the alternative, or I should say independent media, and I'm going to use that officially from now on, it's the independent media. Excuse me, it's not the alternative media, but the independent media. Because we are not dependent upon any specific or any corporation whatsoever. We rely on your support. We rely on advertising dollars when we can get them. But it's independent. And not dependent on the six major corporations. So, they've got, the people in power have got to marginalize the independent media and members of the independent media. And they're going to go after both the low-hanging fruit as well as the higher, profile and more influential programs, broadcast websites, and individuals. That is already being done. And it's not just in one fashion, but it's asymmetrically. It's being implemented asymmetrically. And I would caution everyone to really use discernment in what you what you see. Because right now, the deception that's out there with respect to what's on the internet or what's in on television or newspapers, the deception is has never been greater than it is now. Things that you think, well, hey, this is absolutely true. No, not true. Okay. And it's never been, that deception has never been greater. And when the truth is unable to be countered by falsities, for example, Drudge Report, of course, they'll throw a DDoS or denial of service attack against Drudge Report, which is happening right now. Who it will be tomorrow, don't know. But nonetheless, it's happening. And of course, we have discussions of Trump assassinations. You know, how many times are we going to see this? Charles Jaco hints at Trump assassination in a tweet, then deletes it. And this is a journalist turned this. Charles Jaco. Do you know this guy? I don't know. Do we really care what he says? No. But what we need to do is we need to be looking for the predictive programming, war with Russia, blackouts, potential assassinations, all of this, all of these headlines are telling us what to look for. Be very cautious. Be very discerning. Check this information out for yourself. Up next, dark journalist Daniel List. Darkjournalist.com. Stay right where you're at. Have you ever wondered about what the deep state is? Perhaps you've heard Peter Dale Scott talk about it. Well, we've got dark journalist Daniel List. He's going to be joining us here momentarily. His website, darkjournalist.com. He's got a very popular platform, a popular website, YouTube channel, of course, Facebook and Twitter as well, under the same name, Dark Journalist. He's an incredibly informed talk show host in his own right, investigative researcher. He's an independent investigative reporter and filmmaker. He coined the term dark journalism, to be exact, and to introduce crucial areas of research and investigation that the mainstream media refuses to touch. He's been on Coast to Coast, AM, of course, and numerous other programs as well. His YouTube channel has reached over, I don't know, 5 gazillion, well, I'll say 5 million views, with online video downloads exceeding 6 million. It's just he's done an amazing job in getting the truth out there. And this is what this is all about. 2017, the Hagman Report is doubling down in 2017. We are doubling down in the face of this fake news crap. We're doubling down. And we are bringing on the best of the best. And among them, dark journalist Dan List is, in fact, the best of the best. Before we get to Dan, I just want to ask you, have you gone to MinutemanStove.com yet? Have you done it? Because in these uncertain times, and remember, you know, lights go out, you lose the ability to cook, perhaps, or at least cook efficiently. Why not have a backup method for accomplishing one of life's most basic and important tasks, and that's preparing food? Well, I've got this perfect solution. It's the Minuteman Rocket Stove. This is the greatest rocket stove, I believe, the greatest on the market, and that's by Minuteman. That's by Minuteman Stove. It's MinutemanStove.com is the website, but it's a small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove, rocket stove. With decent wood, it's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport, and because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores. Don't rely on gas or fuel stoves, because eventually that fuel's going to run dry. It's easy to feed this stove with burnable material, easy to use. Prepare your family, prepare yourself, just prepare. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It'll make bad times much better. This product is made in the USA, handmade in the USA, in North Carolina. They're extremely rugged. It comes with a 2-year warranty that no one has ever tested, and it comes with fire starters, and the fire starters are great. Folks, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com and check them out. Without any further ado, let's bring Daniel on. Daniel List from DarkJournalist.com. Daniel, how are you, sir?
Doug, it's great to be here. Thanks.
Man, it's great to have you. I was telling a story at the beginning of the program when John called to let me know that he arranged to have you on. I was actually watching one of your videos, and it was just so weird. The timing was just so odd. So I'm glad you're on, and I think everyone pretty much knows who you are, or at least now they do. So let's start off with a bang. Dark journalism and deep state, what we're seeing right now. Well, let me ask you, where do you want to start?
Well, I think that's a great place to start, actually. And by the way, I like those synchronicities when they come up. So I'm used to that. Well, what's interesting is really when I started doing what I call dark journalism, it really was because I was seeing over and over again these three different things come up. And it was always there was an official story around some deep event that was happening. So, you know, you can take 9/11 or the financial coup d'etat of 2008 as an example. And you would always see this pattern come up. It was the official story, which always left a lot of things out and seemed to be serving somebody's agenda. It was kind of hiding what was really going on underneath. Or it just sounded like it wasn't quite right, you know. And then there was the conspiracy theory came up after it. And this usually came from some kind of alternative researchers. You know, they could be professors, they could be journalists, they could be totally independent, but there was something compelling in what they were bringing forward. And as soon as that started to pull attention away from the main story, this other thing came up, and I call it third force or junk conspiracy. And you'd see it a lot. It would come up a lot, you know, and in historical examples, you know, junk conspiracies could be like, you know, and the official story around the Kennedy assassination, for example, was that Lee Harvey Oswald shot the president alone and he was a lone nut. And then the conspiracy theory was, no, he had help and, you know, the CIA was involved. And then the junk conspiracy was the driver did it.
Exactly. Yes, yes.
So I started to realize if you really go back and go through 50 years of reporting, you'll see a pattern where these things, these three levels come up over and over again. So the official story, the conspiracy theory, and the junk conspiracy. And I started to realize this was the way, obviously, of pulling people off the truth and using the media as the instrument for that. So that's really forms the basis for a lot of the investigations that I do.
So, okay, just to be clear, there are indeed conspiracies, true conspiracies, by definition conspiracies.
Yes.
But then there are, you know, obviously, as you mentioned, junk conspiracies, which are just totally so far out of the realm that it takes people away from really the truth of the true conspiracies.
Yes.
And I think, you know, a lot of that is by design, and I've seen a lot of that done by our own people or proponents of, or alleged proponents of, the truth. It's just bizarre, but okay, all right.
True.
So, you know, all right, but then it's a matter of propaganda, I believe, as well. It's a propaganda tool and a propaganda operational tactic that is at play here.
It is. Yeah, what we have to understand, you make a good point with that, because what's happening is we're looking at funded operations. So, for example, shortly after the election, I was talking with a friend who was a pro-Clinton friend, which, you know, was trying to get Clinton into the White House, and it didn't work out so well for her. But what she was telling me was that the election was lost all because of some kids in Macedonia who were sending out pro-Trump and anti-Clinton fake news, basically. And the more I talked to her, I realized that all the information that she had got was from MSNBC and the Washington Post, and it was all complete fabrication. So she had bought into this idea, and this requires a little bit of doublethink if you think about it, that these stories had helped Trump win the election, you know, stories about Clinton and her foundation and all that, when in fact most of those stories came from WikiLeaks, which is a 100% vetted source and has never come out with anything even remotely inaccurate. So those stories from the Clinton Foundation and the payoffs they were taking and the things that were going on inside that campaign in collusion with the modern media and the mainstream media in 2016 during the election were astounding revelations. It should have, you know, it certainly did shake whatever faith was left in the system, media-wise, I think, absolutely. But what happened immediately after the election as a reaction from those people who were shocked that they didn't accomplish their goal, getting Clinton elected in this case, was that they had to come into something else. So they came up with their own conspiracy theory, which they were starting to work on during the election, which was the Russia part. And this is this whole idea that Russia had interfered with the election and colluded to get Trump elected for some reason. But this was all to get everyone away from the basic thing, which was that we had real documented emails that were verifiable that showed, you know, unethical and illegal activity on the part of the Clinton campaign. And, you know, that included Podesta working with Donna Brazile, who was the head of the DNC when she was working at CNN, giving debate questions to Clinton ahead of her debates with Bernie Sanders. So this is not a Democrat-Republican issue. This is really a collusion issue when you get right down to it. And so what we're seeing, I think, is, you know, what was necessary was this huge response after the election and after WikiLeaks had exposed these things. What were they going to do? And so right after that weekend of Thanksgiving, unbelievably, fake news was plastered everywhere. And here we are 6 weeks later, and you see it everywhere, and you and I will talk about it tonight, of course, but they have made sure that that has gone worldwide. So that's the power of that arm, that propaganda arm, for sure.
So you've covered the origin, I suppose, the origin of that, of that, well, fake news.
That's
right. And of course, the conspiracy theory has been worn out and used to death. So they had to come up with something different. Fake news, of course. Yeah. So okay, and it's a natural progression, I believe. That and you're exactly right. And it's interesting you mentioned the WikiLeaks and everything that was exposed by WikiLeaks. And I watched the Assange interviews with Sean Hannity, and I heard, and I've watched, and I've listened to Assange discuss before, and people have. It's interesting to me how people can throw Assange under the bus for revealing criminality.
Yeah,
I'd much rather know about criminality.
Absolutely.
I mean, if there's a criminal in my home or in my business or in my government, I want to know about it. You know.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, too, because if you recall in 2012, if you and I were having a discussion about how the NSA was taping every call and how the NSA was tracking every email, then there would have always been that contingent who, listening to our conversation, would have said, wow, they're paranoid. And then 2013, Edward Snowden comes forward with his revelations. And, of course, Snowden didn't do that on his own. I mean, he had a lot of help inside of whatever institution he came out of, working for Booz Allen Hamilton. That's another story. I do have some details about that. But my point is that the paradigm shifts so quickly in an environment like this where information goes around the world. So we've never seen, for example, an election like the one we just had where it was leak-driven completely. So if you look back to 2012, there are a few leaks here and there, nothing substantial, and nothing really important came up in that election at all, because both sides were just handpicked at the top. With this election, there were all sorts of populist and underground forces at work. For example, Bernie Sanders' campaign, that's a lot of grassroots, not very neocon, not very establishment stuff. On the Republican side, Trump, completely anti-Republican in so many regards. You know, the head of the Republican Party hates him. The head of the Democratic Party hates him. But he's a billionaire, and he has a big drive and a lot of connections, and so a lot of things are going to come out. So that election, you know, elections are very often a reflection of the kind of time in society. It's like a great snapshot where we are. You know, like the 1968 election would have been a great snapshot back then of that period. So if you look at ours, what you see is, oh my God, these people, like the Clinton administration, you know, the Clinton campaign and the Sanders people, they were living in the 2012 paradigm, which was, you know, sort of not at the mercy of all this technological revelation. And then right in the middle of that campaign in the summer, all this stuff starts coming out, you know, oh, hey, they fixed it so that Bernie wouldn't have the debates, you know, they fixed this and fixed that. And then they throw out, during the DNC coronation of Hillary, they throw out Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's the head of the DNC. I mean, you don't see that happen very often. So this was a totally different kind of election. And it's because the rules of the game changed right in the middle of it. And this had a lot to do with the technology, with the ability of hacking to come out. But what it meant in this case with an organization like WikiLeaks was, you know, these guys are dedicated truth tellers, and they were really putting this information out after vetting it and getting it out to these sources, and there was just no way to stop them, because even if the networks didn't cover them, it was all over Facebook, it was all over Twitter, the game was over, the internet had won. So that leads to more transparency, and the politicians really struggled with that this year, and I think that's the kind of paradigm we're seeing, a complete paradigm shift in favor of the truth. And so the lockdown against that has got to be merciless, and that's what we're seeing.
And we are feeling that in ways that, well, just trust me when I tell you that we are feeling that pressure from places we would not ordinarily expect, all right? And this is an asymmetrical war that we're in, which we're engaged. Mm-hmm. You know, Drudge right now apparently is under another DDoS, and it's offline, it's my understanding at this
point.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, this is something that we haven't seen happen in two decades of existence, have we? I mean, has this ever happened before?
No. And I would say this regarding Drudge, that Drudge was a major factor in the 2016 election, again, because the level of independence that he operates on. And, you know, he had a very interesting conversation. Apparently, he was at some kind of event, and a Supreme Court justice, who he did not name, but who I thought was Breyer, possibly, came up to him and said, "You and your type or your ilk are going to be out of business soon." And it was like this little veiled threat that he gave him. And that's anecdotal. This is something that Drudge said. Mm-hmm. And that was a year ago. So he came out after that and he said, you know what? They're going to introduce these rules to lock down the internet. Watch out. And he came out from behind, you know, his desk, which he doesn't very often, and reported all this. But what I found interesting about it was, at the time, it sort of fell on deaf ears, and there wasn't anything to really back it up because there wasn't a severe crackdown happening. But right after this election and during the election, we started to see that force and that emphasis with this gigantic Russia thing. And then what I think is one of the worst media spectacles in history was the McCarthyite list that the Washington Post put together. And this is all, if we track this back, this is really fascinating because Jeff Bezos took over the Washington Post. The Washington Post has classically been associated with stories like breaking Watergate and all the rest of it. But they also have a long history of being in collusion with the CIA because Katharine Graham is listed as a CIA asset in a declassified document. So she was very tight with them. So this is the nature of their roots. But when Bezos bought it, Bezos is from the corporate overlord Bilderberg scene, and he's a regular attendee at Bilderberg, and he owns Amazon. Mm-hmm. And so when he took over, there's a real move there for corporate America to just completely start to, and the corporate internet America, to really start to take over these media outlets and control the narrative wholesale. Because there's certainly no profit in buying the Washington Post, especially if you're Amazon. It doesn't make any sense at all. So this is strictly to control the narratives. And, you know, what we saw come out of that really was real incredible journalistic mistakes. Washington Post printed a story. They said there's a plan for Russia to attack the power grid of the U.S. starting in Vermont.
Yes.
Interesting
yes.
place to start, right? They had to withdraw the entire story. Complete falsehood. Okay, that's a big mistake for a major newspaper to make.
Right.
Second mistake, they put together this list of so-called collusion agents, media sites that are supposedly alternative but are actually influenced by the Kremlin and the KGB, so that they regularly feed out pro-Russian news, okay? And they had 200 different sites on this list. I forget if you guys were on that list.
You know, I was both surprised and saddened, yet somewhat, I don't know, relieved in the sense, no, we're not. But most of the programs I've appeared on, or all the programs I think I've appeared on, are on that list. And I think...
Yes.
I've got my own theory as to what happened there and why that is. But that aside, you're talking about Prop or Not, I believe, right? Which
yes.
which had the imprimatur of the Washington Post.
Yes.
So, and that's another, that list, by the way, is evolving. It's my understanding that there will be more that'll be inserted into that list, and it's my understanding as well that that could be classified as. And I'll quote, a limited hangout in
yes.
intelligence terms. So, okay, all right.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. And also, you know, some of the sites that are on that list, the Ron Paul Institute, okay, how long have they been waiting to take a good shot at Ron Paul? So now Ron Paul is pro-Russia, okay, in addition to being a libertarian. That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, right? and Zero Hedge, which is probably one of the best... you know, it's a European-based site. It's probably one of the best financial sites around, completely transparent and verifiable stories, and just really leading, cutting edge. Natural News, now, I found that really fascinating. Obviously, they don't like their headlines very much, so we have to put them on that list.
Sure.
There's a couple of UFO websites, which I thought was a stretch, too. It's like, you mm-hmm. know, UFO stuff, well, I don't really think that's pro-Russian somehow. but this list, which, as you said, was developed by Prop or Not, and meaning, is it propaganda or not? And it's this site, and their tagline was, you know, informing the public since 2016. So this is a pretty recent development. Yeah. Talk about some kids in Macedonia. I mean, this fits the bill pretty well. And so what happened here was very interesting. They listed these sites, and then the Washington Post, who's trying to bring up and push this meme of fake news, uses this fake Prop or Not site as the source for this list, this McCarthyite list of KGB-loving websites, and this becomes the meme that they put out there. And I have to tell you, it's fallen pretty flat, but the effort itself was so dangerous that I think, rightly, in alternative media ranks, in independent media ranks, there's been a big reaction in the past month, and you can feel it, and it's visceral, and it's one of the reasons we're talking tonight.
Yes, yes. You know, I don't think the average person out there understands. And I don't want to sound like I'm too far into the weeds here, or I don't want to sound like I'm overstating this, but I don't think the average person understands the risk that's involved in the independent media and being part of the independent media. The risk that you take, that we take, there's a risk there. And it's not just a risk, and I'm not talking about, you know, well, I'm talking about... risk from many areas. Do you agree with that, or is okay? All right.
There's no question. Yeah, there's a major risk involved. One, especially as the clampdown on alternative media gets into, you know, this kind of third level that it's moving into, which is they're taking the gloves off and going after it. It's a very precarious position. But the first level that they went after was funding. And the way that they did that, there have been a few kind of volleys in this area. You know, they've sent up a few trial balloons to see what would work. And one of the things that they had was so many of the alternative media websites are dependent on Google Analytics and the Google AdSense money.
Oh, yeah.
Now, nothing that I've ever done, I've ever gotten any Google money for anything. So I was okay when all this happened and they started to pull back from that. It didn't bother me at all because I've never dealt with it. But a number of sites really went down hard because that was their source of funding. They monetized their videos and everything was in Google's pocket, you know, and Google would send them their 45% at the end of the day. But when Google adopted these policies in 2015 that changed things a little bit, they said, well, depictions of war or questionable material in their terms of service, we won't support those types of ads because of, you know, the taste of our clients or whatever it happened to be. And as they changed those more and more, I saw companies who were doing alternative media collapsing financially, which I think was the first real effort to get rid of the alternative media or really trim it down where it wasn't a factor.
I agree. Yes.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Yes. 1,000 times. Yes. I can't remember what the book. Yes. I totally agree with that. And folks, please listen to what our guest is saying. Of course, darkjournalist.com is his website. Daniel List is his name. You can find a link to his website off of HagmanReport.com. But yes, I totally agree with you. And this is an important way. I mean, we've got to dissect this. And have people understand exactly what's taking place, because until people do understand, they're not going to see the bigger picture. I didn't mean to interrupt here. We got about 2 minutes to break, but go ahead and continue, sir.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely, and you're absolutely right in that it's a good time to take a deep breath and look at it. And I'll tell you how interesting this is, which is Brian Eno, who's done some incredible music over the years and is a great music producer. He's produced bands like U2 and done all kinds of work with Fripp and all kinds of people. He came out, now this is a guy who's known for music, not politics or anything like that, but he came out and said, you know, 2017 is a great opportunity to actually go out there and support websites and media that is not following in line with the official story. So we see how this is getting out and getting through to different parts. You know, that's in music. I've seen some people do it on the movie side. You know, there are people in politics and there are people in journalism. There is that thread of people starting to realize this. You know, it's so important to get the right kind of information politically, the transparent information, financially, absolutely crucial. And this is where our efforts should be. Those are the types of things we should be supporting, whether it's with our dollars or, you know, mailing out and promoting their stuff, whatever
exactly.
It happens to be. Yeah.
Daniel, hold that thought. We're at the top of the hour here, folks. Our guest, a tremendous journalist, independent researcher, someone I follow and I watch, I read. He's right on the money. He digs into the topics that others, well, he goes where others fear to tread. Darkjournalist.com. That's his website. Daniel List is his name. Of course, he's on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. You can follow him there. But folks, go to darkjournalist.com and sign up for the newsletter. You got to do that. It's a very valuable tool for everyone. That's darkjournalist.com. We're right back. Stay right where you're at.